very much. You know, writing poetry is such a singular business in many ways. If the poet has any humbleness in his soul at all, when he begins to write poetry, he realizes that he has many, many years ahead of him of silence and inattention and so forth. It takes a long time for him to receive any note at all before he has a poem published, really. It's really a very lonely business in many ways, unless you like to talk to yourself. And so that's why I'm always amazed whenever I'm invited to read at a place like the University of Arizona, and people show up to hear me. It's really incredible. So many people, it's wonderful. I'm really very happy to be here and very grateful to have this audience. For a number of years, I was not able to write poems about myself. I kind of spent a good deal of my time creating my own mythologies, kind of casting my voice out into various characters. And I'd like to read a longer sequence of poems about a particular character that I made up. His name is Imbellus, and Imbellus is the Latin word for peace and soul. And I wanted to kind of create a person right from atoms, and create him in innocence, and then show what happens to him. And I'll read, it's not too long a sequence. I'll read the sequence without any comment between the poem, because I think Imbellus tells his own story. The sequence is called The Brief Passage and Quick Corruption of Imbellus, and it's dedicated for Hawks from a Dove. Can you all hear me? Is no problem? All right. The masters report their confusion at the sudden existence of Imbellus. If he had commenced with multiple budding, complex but understandable, intricate yet simple, we would have prevailed. But a cell decided to suddenly divide, and we were confused. It was unperceived by us. We could have predicted partway down the chain, but a single isolated cell cleaved and split and resplit, and before we could control Imbellus, he was here. Zimmer reports his confusion at the sudden existence of Imbellus. I am innocent, I swear it, but delighted. For years I dabbled with periplums and footnotes of gerontic men. I dreamt of plums in an icebox, of globes of palpable fruit, and locomotives spouting violets. Then Imbellus suddenly happened in some agar jar in my darkest corner. Untainted, trusting, and benign, he stepped forth, bearing a sequence with him into the world. Imbellus reports his confusion at his sudden existence. Does everyone suddenly awake to find they wholly exist, knowing that the instant before they had not? How curious to be born in a jar of jelly. How strange to see terror on my father's faces. I loved them instantly, but they did not trust me, save one, perhaps my mother, who was overindulgent. They seemed angry that I stickily was there. But how does one prevent his happening? Imbellus strolls out among the trees and imagines the world to be as peaceful as their seasons. Above me, the trees do things with such simplicity. I walk in their shadows. I feel them press up against the wind, hear their leaves flick rain, and watch them take the sun completely as their due. They are so pervasive, so abundant, so gentle. They grow giddy with their richness in the fall and loosen leaves from their tiny sockets to flash and clatter down to my feet. Then they tighten quietly to ring another year. Snow clings to them, curving and angling in black and white, gathering and spilling with its weight to tingle down on my face. I cannot even perceive the time they enter the gentlest of seasons. There are buds, and then flowers and small leaves unclutching, and all this so green and graceful before my eyes, I do not know it is happening. I have seen these trees in day and night. I have passed through them in peace and happiness. They have no secret periods of ferocity. They do not surround and swallow each other like insidious cells in jelly. They are strong, yet meaningful through all seasons. Surely the world I come to is like them. Embellus strolls out onto the battlefield. I step onto the field at midnight, and suddenly bombs fall, arrows slant, and the moon is scribbled with tracer fire. By morning, I have nearly lost my life, and assuredly my innocence is gone. No primrose fingers squeeze those triggers and pluck those bows and catapults, but hands unsound with strength and sick with hate. The innocents are ground into the earth like leaves and die in mortal terror. But still the captains blow their charges and generals wring their hands upon the hills. By day's end, trembling more in rage than terror, I have seen enough. I step forth from my hiding place and change the landscape. Warriors turn back meekly toward childhood. The ground grows whole, blasted trees mend, mangled flowers bloom, and animals return to dart and fetch upon the land. Shells are tamped with their smoke back into cannons. Bombs rise and return like eggs to droning rooms. Sabers dull and arrows pluck sweet music on their strings. The night has returned, and the war is gone with my innocence. I have brought peace, but I have seen blood, heard anguish, and known anger. I sit beneath the moon and grind my teeth. I have become as cunning as these childlike warriors who play now like fawns beneath the trees. Embellus, bellicose. To fuming hell with talk, let the shriek of steel on steel convey my subtle messages, give meaning to my symbols, and place reason in my words. I defy innocence. I have seen peace and know it is no longer useful. I thrash and cleave pure flesh. I feel purpose in the heart of war. So, deadened by a cord, I am revived by combat. Peace has become intolerable. Blood, oh, only blood excites me. It is worth all torture, all pain that is not mine. Invincible I strike and passion at the groveling and wincing. I, Embellus, am king of terror, and peace is puny memory to me. The masters report the mortal illness of Embellus. Just as we knew it would happen, he is dying, not horribly on a cross, nor gallantly on the battlefield amidst the gore of his ultimate victims, but slowly, painfully, and ignobly of a subtle, cancerous growth which seized him before we could control it. Soon his strange heart will gasp upon its blood and his trachea will chatter like a gourd. Those cells that had so quickly multiplied to make him will sag and fall apart. His synthesis will never reoccur. Having feared Imbellus once, we know his makeup and will never let him happen again. The death rattle of Imbellus. I have been cheated of my innocence. Like God, I have stumbled on my peace and grown ferocious. And what is to show? A shattered body, a rotting mind, and death in hideous, stupefying bursts of pain. What I have proven is unspeakable. I return in wrath to the agar jars and pray that all my cells will die. I bequeath nothing and leave no message. I wish only for eternal darkness. Zimmer writes an epitaph for Imbellus. Now that Imbellus is dead, I will not make blank statements such as dust to dust. I am a poet and expected to design bright messages. So I say Imbellus is dead, and that is all. Time, that predictable rot, has taken him. He was good, and he was bad. That is all. I write no anguished elegy for him. I will not sum up his existence. Forget him. A study of his life would show things we cannot believe. If you insist, I will say it, dust to dust. Now, forget him. Well, that's enough of that stuff. Thank you. Thank you.